This morning, I want to bring our attention to the unity of the body of Christ in verse 2 of chapter 2. Follow with me as we read chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." This morning, we're going to focus mainly on verse 2, as we will look at preserving unity in the body of Christ. We will look at four guidelines in preserving unity in the body of Christ. Paul begins chapter 2 by reminding his writers two motives for bringing forth unity within the body of Christ, or preserving unity in the body of Christ. The first motive is his reminder of Jesus Christ. He says, "If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, and any affection and compassion, make my joy complete." Paul's first motive was to remind the believers in Philippi of what Christ had done for them on the cross. Paul's desire is that they would abound in unity. Paul's desire in this first understanding is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what changes our hearts. It is the redemptive work of the gospel in the hearts of men that brings out, that brings us out of death and in slavery to sin, to freedom to obey God and not sin. Believers have the opportunity to glorify and to honor God because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. The second motive, then, that Paul gives here in this chapter is that his joy would be complete in the church of Philippi. You see, Paul was the one that had come to Philippi and shared the gospel with the Philippian church, and he had seen the gospel working through their lives. We see in chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul understood what the power of Christ would do upon the hearts of man and what God had done for the Philippian church. And he wants them to make his joy complete because he has begun to see the work of Christ in their hearts. But he also wants them to be united in one body. It's not just enough to live out our lives for the glory of God if we have forgot our brother and sister in Christ. And so in Philippians chapter 2, Paul reminds his readers and you and I that we must be united in Christ. He says to them in chapter 2, verse 2, "Make my joy complete." So the first guideline then of being united in Christ is being of the same mind. And then secondly, maintaining the same love. Thirdly, united in spirit, and then intent on one purpose. Again, four guidelines to preserving unity in the body of Christ. Or we could say four guidelines to preserving unity here at Faith Bible Church. The first one we will look at is being of sound mind, as Paul reminds his readers here. Chapter 2. Being of the same mind. This word, the same mind, comes from the Greek word phroneta, literally to think the same, to be in harmony of mind, to agree with one another, to be on the same page. We as believers are to continue preserving the unity of the Spirit by being of one mind. Romans 12, 16, if you would turn with me to Romans, we're going to spend a little bit of time in Romans this morning. Romans 12, 16 gives us a picture of what unity looks like. Romans 12, 16 says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. We are not to be haughty of mind or prideful in thought. We are to humble ourselves before one another and before God. If you'll look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, for through the grace given to me, Paul says, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so to have sound judgment, as God has allotted each a measure of faith. We are to have sound judgment. We are not to be wise in our own estimation. Believers are to be of the same mind. Turn with me, if we will, to Romans chapter 15, verse 5. It says, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Jesus Christ, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We as believers are to have the same mind. We are not to be puffed up or self-centered. We are to glorify God with our thinking and be encouraging to one another. 2 Corinthians 12, 12 says that the body of Christ has many members, yet within these many members, we make up the body of Christ to glorify and to honor God. We are not an end in ourselves. We are to function with one another for the glory of God. Verse 12, he says of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. You see, as believers, we have different roles and different gifts within the church. And there is not one role that is any less important or one role that is any more important than in the body of Christ. We are all to strive together to build up one another for the glory of God. The one who serves behind the scenes is no less important than the one who stands before you. In fact, the Bible says that we are to regard one another more importantly than ourselves, and we will look at that also. Also, some other verses on being of the same mind or not being haughty of mind. Proverbs 3:7, Romans 11:25. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, we are to be complete in the same mind. There should be no divisions among us. And you know what was happening to the church in Corinth. Some were saying, I was of Paul and I was of Cephas. They were basically creating divisions among themselves because they were not centered on glorifying God in their lives. They were trying to rather set themselves apart from one another. But Paul here reminds the church in Philippi that they must be of one mind. No divisions. How often, when in conversation with one another, do we consider the danger of our own tongue to impress upon another's mind the thoughts of disunity? James speaks of the tongue as a restless evil and full of deadly poison. What about our own thoughts apart from others' words? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says that we are to take captive our thoughts. We are to not allow our thoughts to run wild. We are to take our thoughts captive into the obedience of Christ. It is easy for us to assume things that aren't true. In fact, the scripture teaches us in Ephesians chapter 6, that the devil schemes are what we war against. We do not war against flesh and blood, but the evil schemes of this dark day. And we need to put to death in our own minds our thoughts sometimes. Our thoughts and assumptions that may not be true, that may not be healthy for building up the body of Christ. We're to take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. This unity of mind that Paul is proclaiming here is to be centered upon the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that is enslaved to sin, without hope, and without Christ. We're to have the expectation that Christ will be exalted in our life, whether by life or by death. As believers, our lives do not exist outside of the body of Christ. Secondly, then, in chapter 2, Paul calls believers to maintain the same love. Maintaining the same love comes from the word agape in the Greek. This is the love of the will, not of one's preference or attraction. Again, this is the love of the will, not of preference or attraction. Believers are called by God, commanded by God to love one another, not because of the goodness or the attraction of another, but for the purpose of meeting another's needs, rather because of the imperfections of one another, we are to love one another. You and I are to love one another for the purpose of building one another up in Christ Jesus. Unity comes with loving one another, maintaining the same love, maintaining the love of Christ. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, blessing those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. In John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, we see that one who has a lack of love does not know Christ. Is it a demonstration of no salvation or the need to be saved? It says, let's turn there into 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. John is reminding the believers in 1 John that it is God's work in them and not themselves. And he says in verse 10 of chapter 3, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. We see the love of God is in believers. And Paul is reminding his readers that as Christ has worked in them to produce in them the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, this then should work together to unite the body. This should preserve the body of Christ in unity. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, of God working in and through believers. In 1 John chapter 4, we also read in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not know God, for God is love. For the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son in the world so that we might live through him. In fact, Romans chapter 5 says, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love that Paul is speaking of is not a love of attraction. Rather, it is a love of practice, seeing the need in someone and fulfilling that need. You and I are to show our love for God by loving one another. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous. In fact, that is a chapter I'm sure we're all very familiar of. Some call it the love chapter. But it's a reminder of what God has done within the hearts of believers and what that true fruit looks like. Love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag. As we think of unity within the body of Christ, how often do you think of the body of Christ, fellow believers, more specifically, one another that you are sitting next to this morning? How often do you pray for one another? Do we know the needs of one another? This means you and I must be vulnerable. We must be willing to share our needs, and we must be also willing to pray for one another. We must have a mind to build up and not tear down. You and I must have compassion for one another and his or her needs in the body of Christ. Paul continues then in Philippians to remind us that as we continue in unity, we must maintain the same love. The love of Christ, the love that comes from Christ. As we think of unity and loving one another, do we find ourselves a part of the problem or a part of the solution when a need arises? Do we complain or help make it better? The only way, brothers and sisters, we can stand is if we stand united. And Paul reminds us here again that we are to be of the same mind. We are to be maintaining the same love. And then thirdly, united in spirit. We are to be one in spirit. Being united or one in spirit leaves no room for the self-centered person. There is no room for the lone ranger Christian in the preservation of unity. The body of Christ suffers when you and I begin to remove ourselves from the body of Christ. This means our commitment is to the local church body. Do you spend your Sundays here in the church worshiping God as you encourage and build up one another? Is the sum of our time being with the body of Christ? As we are to be united in Christ, we are to have one heart, a heart of compassion, a heart of kindness, a heart of humility, gentleness, and patience, Colossians 3:12. It is trusting in the power of God to mold the hearts of fellow believers as God is doing in your own life. We're to be forbearing with one another, encouraging one another, patient with one another. Are we considering how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds? Hebrews 10:24. Do we find ourselves getting easily agitated with one another? Or do we have compassion for one another? As you and I conduct ourselves in actions worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will be united in the Spirit of God. Philippians 1:27. If you would turn or turn there or just look up a few verses from chapter 2, Paul says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see or remain absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we live for the glory of God, we will be persecuted. And I believe part of being united in Christ is sharing with one another in their sorrows and in their hurts. We certainly do not understand the persecution that the Apostle Paul went through, or the persecution that some of the believers are currently seeing in some of our third world countries, or even some here in America. But we as believers are to be united, encouraging one another and praying for one another. Well, we have looked at then here in Philippians the first guideline of persevering unity, which is being of the same mind. Secondly, maintaining the same love. Thirdly, being united in spirit. The fourth one, then, we are to be intent on one purpose. The fourth guideline, intent on one purpose. Paul has gone full circle here in these guidelines. Each one builds upon one another. He says to be intent on one purpose, fully controlled or having the same mind. Having one purpose, a believer's focus is not on himself, but on one another, striving to be pleasing to God and a light to the world. As Philippians 1:27 says, we are to conduct ourselves, as we just read, in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we are united by these four guidelines, having the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, we will do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, as in verse 3. We will have humility of mind, regard one another as more important than himself. We are not only to take care of our own lives, but also the lives of others. He says in verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Our perfect example of loving one another and selflessness is that of Jesus Christ. Paul himself reminds the Philippian church of some of his own examples, of his desires to build up the body in Philippi, to serve them and to care for them. But the greatest example is that of Jesus Christ. Not only was he obedient to the point of death, but even death on a cross. A cross that was considered cursed of God, Jesus Christ died on, so that you and I may have life. As we look at one another, the body of Christ, we are to have the mind of Christ as we serve and care for one another. Are we willing to give up our lives for one another? Are we willing to lay aside our own preferences to encourage one another and strengthen one another for the body of Christ? Paul reminds his readers in chapter 2 that they are to take care of themselves, but they are also to look out for the interests of others. Verse 4. And as they think of others, they are to be mindful of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Paul warned the church in Corinth that there should be no divisions among them and that they were to be made complete, 1 Corinthians 1:10. For the church in Corinth was not united and they were dishonoring Christ. Paul instructs them to seek the good of his neighbor and not his own. 1 Corinthians 10:24 and 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Paul continues to focus on the selflessness of unity as he gives the perfect example as we had just looked at, Jesus Christ. Paul himself pointed the believers of Philippi to Christ as he said to them, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We see further then in chapter 2, he calls them to do all things without grumbling and disputing. He says in verse 12 of chapter 2, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among which you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Paul's desire for the church in Philippi is to be pleasing and honoring to God. Not only to God, but to be a light and an example to this world of what Christ has done in and through us as believers. It is a great reminder for us to do all things without grumbling or disputing. I think at times that can be one of the hardest things for us to do. Paul reminds the church in Philippi that their focus is to be on Christ himself. And when their focus is on Christ himself, then we will be serving God without grumbling or disputing. Our eyes will not be on the circumstances of this world. Our eyes will be on the glory of God and the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Well, we have looked at the four guidelines that Paul gives us here in Philippians chapter 2. Being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. These guidelines will provide our unity in Christ. And as we strive to preserve the unity amongst our body here, we need to continue to look to Christ. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 calls us as believers to set our minds on things above and not on the things that are on this earth. He says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set our minds on things above and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with evil practices, and having put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. so that those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, we are to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. As we are mindful of preserving unity, we must reflect the fruits of the Spirit in our lives and put to death the deeds of the flesh. For with the flesh, there is no unity, but with the Spirit, there is unity in Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity